Reggie.
Come in, baby.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can, and you have an audience of 7 here, so watch your step. We got Joy, Monica, Gloria, Kevin, and friend, and me. I guess what I'm calling you about is, to begin with, well, people are interested if you have any new info on the habeas situation and the possible crunching of figures that Dylan was talking of doing, or maybe you were talking of doing, or, the, you know, the, from the Public Records Act that went down.
No update. I need to, I was just mentioning this the other day that I need to sync with Dylan, because I haven't heard back about whether ACLU will sort of accept our help on that particular project. You know, they can get a little, insecure about attorney-client privilege type things like that. But, I mean, it's public data, so I don't know.
I mean,
you know, but they're,
you, yeah,
they're kind of weird sometimes.
Why would you need to get the ACLU opinion to crunch the data yourself?
Or to get... I know, you wouldn't. Yeah, you wouldn't think so. Well, I mean, they have...
I don't think they would. It's as simple as that. I guess... I mean, you might feel, if you want to preserve your relationship with them, and you're worried they might get mad at you. But, I mean, you know... definitely, if you want to sound them out, I'm just encouraging you to go ahead. That's all.
Right. I think the idea was is that we would crunch the data in a way that is helpful to them, because they have all this data and they, you know, have a way that they want it so that they can sort of present it or make arguments that are legal with the data. And I don't know what that, you know, what is useful to them.
Well, I think we need to figure out what's useful to us. I mean, in other words, if we are looking to get some kind of court ruling on selective enforcement or inappropriate use of ordinances that are not meant for that purpose, or, I don't know, harassment without even enforcement, if there's any kind of, if there's calls for service stuff, then you can crunch those figures, or I could do them if I were so minded, which I'm not, but I'd love to, you know, bully somebody else into doing it, that's for sure.
I mean, I think it's like, it's just one of those things where, if we don't know what we're doing it for, then it's like, it could be a lot of effort for not a clear purpose. But, if you have ideas about what to crunch the data for, yeah, we can talk about it. That would be cool.
All right, I'll try and think about it.
Reggie, Kevin here.
Yeah.
Hi. What is the data that's to be crunched?
So what we're talking about is people have been doing a bunch of public records requests to get, like, all the tickets and all of the tow orders and all of the sort of, like, all of the behavior of police that is then enforcing camping bans, potentially parking. We're pretty sure no one's done OVO at this point,
yeah.
So it would be more like 2-hour rules and stuff.
Accounting of the citations or whatever.
Who is being
these
ticketed,
people?
How frequently?
Yeah.
Which officers are ticketing?
Yeah, them, yeah, all that. Yeah.
Whether, you know, the idea being to determine whether there seems to be a focus on a particular area, a particular officer has a hard on for it, a particular class of people, let's say people who aren't local get it mostly, or they ignore certain kinds of vehicles. I mean, there could be different reasons why you want to go after this. We often hear this claim that, you know, poor vehicles get fucked with. Where
that's a real point, yeah, is in others, regardless of presence of, you know, vehicles and stuff like that.
this is public record that can be accessed? Okay.
Some of it,
so
anyway.
This is a matter of...
Some of it.
So, how about this Habe guy? Anything on his posse?
He's a neighborhood vigilante officer who feels very strongly about getting rid of people who are parking in neighborhoods where he feels that's a... I don't know what he feels. I'm not a friend of his. I haven't really talked to him personally in 20 years or something.
Okay, thank you.
He even harasses people on Soquel, which is a major street. Again. He even harasses my daughter on Soquel in front of Whole Foods. So, yeah, and I thought it was comical after she was killed that somebody else just filled the spot with another RV twice as long as hers. So, yeah. He wrote things like, oh, we can't see around the corner. He was in the spot, clearly designated. So, yeah, he just likes to harass people. It's fun for him.
But that could be a case of activists who get targeted by certain police officers who feel that...
like Alicia Cool.
Yeah, like Alicia Cool.
She would be a target.
I've been targeted over the years early on. Not
anybody
so
that has a kind of
right
higher
my
profile.
That's oh, my daughter, then Alicia, then...
So, Reggie, what about OVO stuff? Has there been anything new regarding either a decision by the Coastal Commission to put it on the agenda in a meeting coming up soon, or has any of that happened?
Yeah, I just checked the agenda for the City Council meeting portal this morning, and I don't see any updates yet. So I'm just going to keep on checking it today and tomorrow and see if we can get any updates. I asked Sandy Brown.
There won't be a City Council meeting until the second Tuesday in August, I think, right?
Yeah, August 9th is going to be. So they've already posted sort of the TBD, but they haven't posted any agenda.
Reggie, you and I were a week off when we were talking yesterday.
Can you hear her?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's coming up.
So that can happen.
Because you're going to be back by then, right, Joy?
I think so, but also the agenda won't be up today. It'll be up next week.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I was like, well, that seems kind of early for it to come up that. But I just thought that, like, I had forgotten.
No, it's me.
Okay.
Too many pots in the hoodah.
Totally.
But I wasn't asking about the City Council. I was asking about the Coastal Commission. I don't know. Have you inquired of our Coastal Commission workers whether there needs to be a City Council action to put the item on the agenda, or whether it can be done independently by the code? Probably needs to be a City Council action. But
I think they don't need to do this, right?
See, that's the question.
Hold on a second.
I don't know. I mean, I did not know in 2016. I don't know whether the city took affirmative action to withdraw it after the Coastal Commission said, "Forget it. This is a significant issue. You got to take it to a full hearing." I don't know whether the city withdrew it or whether the Coastal Commission, something else happened. I don't know who took the initiative or whether the initiative was required. And I imagine you could probably find out by contacting Ryan Maroney or whoever is covering it, some of this. Or I could. I could try.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, my sense is that city staff just really wants to be on the same page with Coastal Commission staff. And they were up until they figured out about this daytime restriction issue. And so City Council is going to try to basically modify OVO to take away the one thing Coastal staff didn't want, which is the daytime restriction. And...
Now, you actually know this from a staff member, or are you speculating? What's the story?
This is my speculation, just based off of knowing how the city operates. You know, they're going to make a change, which is the absolute minimal change, in order to get Coastal Commission staff on the same page as them. And then they're going to try to just push it through. Now... because they're doing this, I'm pretty sure that they will go forward with the Coastal Commission appeal hearing, but, yeah.
Well, I don't think, the next question is, and you should ask Maroney this, ask whether this has to go through the whole process. In other words, if they're making changes to the ordinance, it has to be approved by the local administrator, has to go through the planning commission.
Right. I asked Kiana Ford, who is the staff member we've been talking to, does this restart the appeal process?
Right.
And she said it doesn't have to, and that basically she'll tell me when the city has told her what they actually want to do. But I told her, I'm like, you know, if this restarts the appeal process, you know, I don't think we should have to do another $700 appeal at the local level just to get a result that we already know we're going to get, right? Like, we should be able to go straight to you and shortcut that whole situation. And so she didn't really respond to that. So I think...
I mean, remember...
There's stuff to deal with there, huh?
I mean, if you're talking with Coastal Commission staff or city staff, these are both people who are bad on this issue. They really are. Even when the Coastal Commission slaps them down, they're still bad on this issue, probably because they're local and they are more amenable to those kinds of influences. I mean, look at, they've been slapped down twice, you know. Why would they, you know, I guess they would proceed because they thought they'd have this token safe parking bullshit that they put in. But that wasn't enough, obviously, because, not just because of the recent decision, but I think, I would like to say any fool could see that the new social justice requirement of 2019, not to mention the specific requirements on an 11-to-1 vote in 2016, had not really been met. That's why I even wondered if this was just some sort of a PR move to the Take Back Santa Cruz crowd to say, see, look, we're trying. Blame the Coastal Commission. They're the ones, you see. And then to the police, go ahead and ignore it because our local Coastal Commission isn't going to do anything about it anyway. And so what I'm saying about this is, if that's true, and this again, just like your speculation about what's going to be on the city council agenda, is my speculation about what's happened to some extent. So you need to find out what the rules are. If something goes back, you don't just say, will you call me? They told me they were going to send me the data around this latest stuff, and they never did. You know, and so I think I got it from you. You know, you sent it to me in a secondary way. So I'm still trying to get information out of them. I think I'll have to kind of review what it is I'm trying to get out of them. But I say find out what the rules are. Call the Coastal Commission to say, you know, when they assure you they're going to contact you by email. And they probably will, because you're the original appellant, you and Santa Cruz Cares. But still, find out what's the specific procedure and requirements, and where is it to be found in the law? Please tell me the law, I'm doing a research paper, and Santa Cruz Cares needs to know about this, because there's one crazy guy who keeps insisting, you know, whatever. In other words, find out what the rationale is that they are bound by, supposedly, of course. It's all pretty weak. It's spiderweb chains, you know, when it comes to this kind of stuff, in my view.
But, yeah.
I mean, it could be. I don't know much. Anything new in terms of people who are getting harassed in RVs, tickets that are coming in? Have you heard much about that? People harassed in other neighborhoods?
I haven't heard much. I think you've probably heard more than I've heard at this point. Yeah, I haven't been plugged in for, like, the last month or anything.
Okay. There's also the issue of the benchlands.
I just heard that there's some activity. Well, there's been, it's kind of like a slow burn down there where they're, you know, clearing camps near the bridge And now it seems like I just got a notice on Cop Watch that there's some bulldozing, it sounds like, maybe going on over there.
When was this?
This morning.
This morning. Now, is the notice about bulldozing actually happening this morning, or bulldozing that happened you just got the notice on it was happening earlier?
It sounds like they might have been given a notice, and then now it's happening, so, yeah.
Do we know where it's happening?
I don't see. I'll have to check.
And that ends the first half of Reggie's conversation on, I guess it was July 28th, at our Huff meeting a week ago. Of course, there was bulldozing going on. We sort of adjourned the meeting when Troy arrived to give us a notice that was happening. And I think I'll play one little piece of Troy's comment, not on the bulldozing that happened on July 28th, which you've actually heard descriptions of. If you go back to my shows of last Thursday, July 28th, and also the July 31st Sunday show, but rather what Troy had to say at the current meeting on August 4th, or actually right before the meeting, I interviewed him briefly, and I'll be playing that for you. And then I guess I may or may not play the rest of this interview with Reggie. It's interesting in some respects, but it's perhaps a bit dated now, because what we did learn, actually I learned this a few minutes ago as I was preparing the show on August 4th here, that there is nothing on the city council agenda, according to an email from Reggie, that has anything to do with the OVO, and bringing it back or re-pushing it to the Coastal Commission. So it looks like their city may be doing what it did with the earlier ordinance that passed like 6 years ago, the Rochelle Noroyan ordinance, as I call it, named after that councilwoman, essentially to do the same thing, which is to ban OVs at night and to eliminate the OVs basically throughout the city during the day unless they have a specific permit to be there. So that seems to be what's happening again, but I'll be talking more about that on Sunday if I get more details. Right now, here's a little bit from Troy, and I think we'll leave it at that after we hear Troy, and maybe I'll be talking at you again on Sunday. But on second thought, I'm going to play a little bit of music before we go. This is one of the final songs in this album, Peggy Seeger's period pieces, actually. It's called Carry Greenham Home, and Peggy writes, "Greenham Common Peace Camp, symbol of the power of women against the juggernaut of patriarchy and military might. From 1981 to 1997, females of all ages maintained a constant presence at all of the seven gates and patrolled the 9-mile perimeter night and day. Whether you were sitting at a gate on a hot July day, or whether you were on a winter night watched by a campfire with soldiers and dogs patrolling only feet away from you on the other side of the fence, singing was an integral tool in your survival kit. When it came to bolstering spirits, emphasizing unity, entertaining ourselves, and irritating the opposition, nothing was as good as a song. This one celebrates Circle the Base Day, 1982, when 30,000 women decorated the chain-link fence, then joined hands and made two encircling rings around the base. 18 miles of singing women." And the lyrics of the song, "Hand in hand, the line extends all around the 9-mile fence. 30,000 women chant, bring the message home. Carry Greenham home, yes, nearer home and far away, carry Greenham home. Singing voices rising higher, weave a dove into the wire. In our hearts, a blazing fire, bring the message home. No one asked us if we cared if crews," that's the cruise missiles, "should be stationed here," and these were U.S. missiles. "Now we've got nuclear missiles. Now we've got them running scared bring the message home. Here we sit, here we stand, here we claim the common land. Nuclear arms shall not command, bring the message home. Singing voices, sing again to the chicken, sorry, to the children, to the men. From the channel to the glens, bring the message home. Not the nightmare, not the scream, just the loving human dream of peace, the ever-flowing stream. Bring the message home. Woman tiger, woman dove, help to save the world we love. Velvet fist and iron glove, bring the message home. That was written in 1983, recorded in 1986, remixed in 1998, and it deserves to be done again in 2022 and until these lunatics who are essentially risking nuclear holocaust both in Ukraine and in Taiwan have to hear and have to respond. Anyway, here's the song, and that'll be it for this particular edition of Bathrobes, Pierres, Broadsides.
Hand in hand, the line extends all around the 9-mile fence.
30,000 women chant, bring the message home. Carry Greenham home, yes, near home and far away. Carry Greenham home. Singing voices rising higher, weave a dove into the wire. In our hearts a blazing fire, bring the message home. Running scared, bring the message home. Carry Greenham home, yes, near home and far away. Carry Greenham home. Here we sit, here we stand, here we claim the common land. Nuclear arms shall not command, bring the message home.
Finally, here's Troy with some thoughts earlier today on August 4th. He lives in the Benchlands, and he was the one who carried the message about the camps being bulldozed a week ago. 4th of August, I'm here about 11, talking with
Troy.
you're showing photos from the from your phone from the benchlands where you live. And I'll just sit down here and relax. You say police have taken over the care and feeding of homeless folks?
Not feeding, but I guess they're in charge of us now as far as garbage and sanitation. I don't know. But they seem to be guarding the sanitation workers, and they're looking for camps that are very dilapidated to, like, get rid of them and make sure that it's, like, spick and span. And it's a dirty place the way it is. I mean, housing not sweeps, but they're sweeping up and taking anything. And, you know, from the other meetings, Jeremy Leonard. The camp manager, was told by the council to, after someone moves out of the bench lands, they cannot come back, to get rid of them and then not let them back. So they're finding people that are gone from their tents or wherever they are, and they'll scrap the whole tent and all the property, and then the person comes back and there's nothing there, and Jeremy says, well, no, you can't put a tent back up here. So, I've left Santa Cruz a few times for family emergencies and things, and I don't know, it's just, I put up a bulletin board here in the benchlands.
You're showing me a picture of a bulletin board that says benchlands on it. Where is that bulletin board? Right near the phone stuff?
In front of my tent.
In front of your tent. So that's a ways down from where the phone connections are.
Toward the
water street.
Right behind the courthouse. If you look, you can see the courthouse behind it.
And the courthouse is behind it. So if you want to put up a notice in the benchlands, go to Troy. It only costs you $5 per notification, right, Troy?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Donations only. all benefits and proceeds will go to benefit the homeless.
Help us, the homeless guy here.
We like being clean. I mean, we pretty much nerp a lot of people's garbage, things they throw away. We take it until it breaks, and then we throw it away. But usually it's broken already, and we fixed it. And but we're just like they treat us like we're rats, and we're people, and we belong here, and they should take care of us.
Have you seen the trash piles diminishing? Are they finally picking up trash? What's going on?
Well, yesterday there was a man named Larry who, by himself for 2 hours straight, sat there throwing garbage into the dumpster because people had told him that if we didn't clean it up, they're going to close us down for the health reasons like they did the Ross camp. So then me and some other guys got together, and we went over there and helped, but it was still overwhelming because the guys from the west or east side of the camp toward the speaking by Water Street to Soquel Avenue, on Soquel Avenue, all the garbage from Soquel and that has to come all the way down to Water Street to the dumpster. So we're barely making a dent in the pile until they got here this morning and had to backhoe to scoop it all up and throw it in the dumpster in like 30 minutes. When it was taking this guy and us guys, I know I worked an hour, he was there 2.5, and then we had other help. It was like an all-day thing to get rid of the garbage.
Now, was this a
change? We got over 300 people, 400 people, maybe 5 in that camp.
Was this a change from, let's say, last week in terms of garbage pickup? In other words, have they changed their schedule of picking it up?
Yes, because they fired, or the guy quit, that Brad with the white truck that was working. I don't know if he asked for a raise or what, but it's part of, I don't know, I think they're just, I think they have, there's plans that they have, and they're going to move forward with them regardless of what we do.
I know last meeting you came and advised us that 5 people are, it turned out that I was told 5 people were being displaced from the very Water Street edge of the campground. Has any of that happened since then?
Oh, no. Actually, since I came last meeting and told you about Whiskers and me, I rode on his tent, personal survival property, was stopped right there where I drew a line in the dirt with some spray paint. The cop says, what are you doing? And I said, is that a starting line? And I said, no, this is where you stop. And I spray painted Whiskers' tent with personal survival property. And then the cops walked over after I left and asked if he wanted to press charges on me for damage to property or littering or something?
Yeah, vandalism, graffiti.
Vandalism. When that's all they do is throw people's stuff away and ruin it.
Now, has there been any further tent removals in the last week that you're aware of?
Absolutely, but I'm not aware of which ones. It hasn't been around me. It's just been here and there where they find, like, structures they feel are either abandoned or not, the person's not home or something. I don't know. You'd have to ask, what's his name, Greg, about that. He's going to come today.
Fair enough. Well, I'm going to start the meeting. Come when you feel comfortable.
Yeah, I need all the postings I can put on my board, too, because I posted everything on the other board by the electric boxes. It's all gone. Mysteriously, not on the board no more.
Well, I'll give you some flyers to take along.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. And that is all for Bathrop Spears Broadsides today. Hope you got something out of it. Back on Sunday, perhaps. And if you have anything you want to add, because it's reports from folks who are listening, folks who are watching, folks who are keeping their eyes open, that make for a healthy community and actually make for some real news, not just the canned pabulum and generated hysteria that is created by mainstream media. So, call me up, 831-423-4833. It's 423-HUFF, if you're of a alphabetical frame of mind. And it's the Huff Line for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. So, get in touch, and we'll talk.